use of bioterrorism as a war tactic is not a novel concept. Acts of bioterrorism have been a reality dating back to as early as 600 BC when the Athenians contaminated a river with a toxic plant root to incapacitate their enemies. We must realize that while in the past terrorist acts have been generally simple in nature and fairly easy to execute, the rapidly growing fields of biotechnology and bioresearch could open more doors for terrorists looking for new means of committing bioterrorism on a large scale. The ability for terrorists to access new knowledge has grown exponentially since the creation of the internet. The world is now a much smaller place for anyone searching databases, electronic journals, and library sites in order to obtain specific information. Most of us do these searches every week. I know I do. As a result of this easy access to journals, we believe that it's the moral duty of the scientific community to be prudent in this regard, whether it is out of responsibility or liability. As U.S. citizens, we should expect our leaders to take reasonable steps to reduce the risk of bioterrorism. This includes leaders in the scientific community. Of course, this stewardship is justifiable at each and every level. John Stuart Mill, perhaps the strongest proponent of liberalism and free speech, defended the intervention of government to limit actions when more harm than good is likely to occur, articulated in his classic On Liberty. He called this the harm principle, and to this day, it is still valid and appropriate. We are not proposing that the government step in, but that our scientific leaders take it upon themselves to safeguard our citizens. We want scientific progress to continue at its best, while at the same time ensuring that we are not naively putting our fellow citizens at risk. Therefore, we must look to the scientific review process for solutions. Scientific review is a routine process conducted by experts in their respected subject areas. The main purpose of a review is to make a publication more understandable and logical in terms of scientific standards. There is no question that it is a key step in establishing the standards of scientific research and making that research worth publishing or recommending it for rejection. What we suggest is self-regulation out of responsibility. It is the right attitude to adopt. Since review is a multi-individual task at various levels, we believe in its integrity and, if executed correctly, will cause no hindrance to the development of science. We propose that scientific journals themselves take responsibility. Journals employ professional reviewers who could scrutinize papers during the standard scientific review process that already takes place prior to publishing. These reviewers could rely on expertise in their respective fields to make judgment calls pertinent to the material in question, and that would satisfy quality requirements for publishing research details. This idea of self-regulation has already been accepted by the most esteemed journals, such as Science, Nature, and the editors of American Society of Microbiology, who are already monitoring articles that might lead to the misuse of science. In 2003 issue of Science published a statement on scientific publication and security. That statement says, and I quote, "We recognize that on occasion an editor may conclude that the potential harm of publication outweighs the potential societal benefits. Under such circumstances, the paper should be modified or not be published." Similar statements were also made in a 2003 publication of the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences. Scientists as far back as Sir Francis Bacon realized that there are times when secrecy is necessary. We also know that the American Society of Microbiology changed the review policies for its 11 journals, requiring editors to be alert to sensitive information. They found that some authors began self-regulating their own writings. We believe no scientist would ever like to be labeled as an aid to terrorists. Furthermore, the preservation of public trust and support is critical to the future of scientific progress and freedom. Even though scientists may approach research with a conscientious attitude regarding conduct, knowledge, or products, technologies derived from research may be misused by others to deliberately pose a threat to public health or human resources. Scientists involved in any aspect of life sciences research have an ethical obligation to avoid or minimize the risks and harm that could result from malicious use of such research. The potential misuse of research is conceivable. In 2005, the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences due to dual-use concerns, delayed the publishing of a paper that detailed the potential outcomes of intentionally releasing a few grams of botulinum toxin into an unlocked milk tank. This article was designed to highlight the apparent risks and consequences of a malicious act. However, the model used by the authors could easily become a reality. In order to identify what information could be of potential use to bioterrorists, we follow the recommendations of the National Science Advisory Board for Biosecurity regarding dual-use research. According to those recommendations, research information may enhance harmful consequences if it disrupts effectiveness of immunization, confers resistance to biological agents, or increases the ability of those agents to disseminate, alters, or generates a novel pathogenic agent. So the bottom line is that in order to reduce risk of bioterrorism arising from scientific research and to maintain public trust in the scientific community, scientific journals and government agencies should review papers for biosecurity concerns and refrain from publishing information that may be helpful to bioterrorists. Thank you very much. What was the question?
The question is that the topic of the debate is that journals and government agencies should review publications. Are you against review by governmental agencies? Or just from journal editors?
So the question is, are we agreeing that government agencies should review papers before publishing? And our answer would be that there are certain circumstances where funding for research comes from the government. And in those situations, the government has the first dibs on coming in and reviewing those papers themselves.
Yeah, but the title was publishing all papers, like not just the government funders.
So, what's the question?
Yeah.
We're asking if you're against governmental review on all papers as a topic, because not just governmental review on papers the government is working on.
The topic doesn't specifically say that government agencies should review all. It says that government journals themselves and government agencies should review, so not all of them.
The condition of, like, that are using, like, in the topic you mentioned, in the back you mentioned government agencies also.
Well, just to reiterate the point, I think that it's appropriate in cases where funding comes from government agencies, say the NIH or CDC, then I think it's certainly appropriate for them to review it as well. But I don't know if it's appropriate for them to review all articles. The main point is that the journals themselves take responsibility, as well as the scientists involved in the research, in order to avoid government coming in and telling you what to do and how to present the research.
Our next question, you think that secrecy is necessary in some cases in your argument? Do you believe the current policies, such as the Classified Information Act or research and development contracts, have failed in this way?
I think that that's a topic question for the debate itself. But what we're saying is that in the past there have been individuals who are experts in their field, scientists, that have recognized that secrecy is sometimes necessary.